Hi everyone and welcome to Cooking Goals. You're listening to The Cooks. And here we talk to motivated people who are actually doing something, how they got to where they are and their goals for the future. The aim of this podcast is to inspire people to create goals for themselves, to push towards and surpass them. Whether it be small goals like running a 4-minute kilometer or big goals like owning a home, I want this space to be somewhere people can come for inspiration, to listen in on a great conversation, hopefully learn something and in the process create goals for the future. Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by The Daily Grind, a venture which I have started myself where I collect and redistribute used coffee grounds to the community. If you're interested in this venture, please get in contact with me via the link in the description of this episode. Today we talked to Sam Bruin and Carl Humphreys from Hytro. How are you, fellas?
Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, it's good. I haven't had the aircon on in a while, so it's good to have, but it's hot today though.
Yeah, Stephen.
Yeah, it's a bit of that switch. Like we're at the top room here at Pop Space, is it called? It's gonna be. Can't wait to get into things today. So, first of all, usually I start episodes by like trying discussing like how we met. So first of all, Naomi, who was one of the ladies who runs the business Griffith Innovation Challenge. Is that what it's called?
GRC.
Yeah, GRC. Yep. So she was on the podcast a couple of months ago, and so for the listeners at home. She sent out an email saying we'll be having like a pitch night. I'm pretty interested in startups and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'll come along. And then one of the guys here today, Sam, was one of the presenters. So and went and strung up a conversation with him after the pitch. And thankfully you won. How good was that?
Second.
Oh, you got second. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, we'll count it as a win.
We're pretty good. I think it was a win. Like you guys got the crowd. So
we had a really fun time at the GRC night. I think the networking aspect of that was actually unexpectedly quite enjoyable.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. You have a couple of drinks and some food and stuff and nibbles and
free food's always good.
Got the space there as well at Cohort. So and now you were in the challenge as well, is that right?
Yeah, so well we did the class, the GIC. Unfortunately we didn't make it past the round to do the final presentation.
Yep.
It was a little bit different, I guess. My mindset is a little bit more tech focused,
mm-hmm.
and the partner that I had, which is one of the other guys that work in our group, we're a bit more tech focused.
Mm.
So it was a lot harder to present in the short amount of time. Although we've learned a lot since then, and yeah, definitely grown. But yeah,
and so obviously the Griffith Innovation Challenge. So basically, you have to just to try and get across the listeners. Is it 12 weeks? You got to try and make like a startup business.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Just over the course of one uni trimester. They take you in and it's a course, it's open to anyone at the uni, any degree that lets you pick up an elective. Obviously, so the four of us at Hytro are all computer science graduates, so we haven't really experienced anything businessy or entrepreneurship related at all. I spoke recently about it, but I think I said that I'd never heard the word entrepreneurship until I was probably at university to begin with, but it was a very new sort of course for us, and that's why we're interested in it. It was skills we didn't already have from our current studies, and the ball gets rolling really quick. You know, within a few weeks, you're starting to write your business plan and pitching this idea, like doing this little elevator pitch to a little table of judges, and they give you a lot of feedback. And I think it's harsh on all the people to start.
Oh, yeah.
Because business people are pretty blunt.
Putting yourself out there as well, you know, like, oh, hey, I got this idea I thought about overnight. What do you guys reckon? And they'll just...
And they pick apart it. And then you're like, oh, yes.
Cool. It's very hard to take feedback, you know, at the start. No, you know, like, I'm personally not too good at it. I'm like, oh, well, hang on.
Yeah.
Screw you. You know, this is my idea. But that's how you learn and grow and stuff. And so what was your idea? More tech focused?
Taking a step back, obviously, four of us knew each other before going into GIC. We sort of already had ideas of things that we wanted to do, like doing software companies and things like that. And then we went into GIC and the limit for teams was 3. So we split into teams of 2. Obviously, we don't want to leave one person out.
Yeah, cool.
And at the time, we just picked teams based on like who hadn't studied with each other at the time. And then we had to sort of break up ideas, try to come up with new ideas. And I guess that's where Fishing Mates sort of came through, and me and Josh ended up picking going to do more of a tech/board game kind of collab. It's still sort of in the works, and it's not something that we're pursuing directly right now, but it's something that down the line we definitely want to, I guess, loop back into.
Yep.
Basically bringing, like, people learning tech and bringing that to a bit more game and, like, social thing. Obviously, COVID kind of affects that right
now.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of put a block on everything, hasn't it? Like, it's a bit of a shame, you know, like we were talking just before about, you know, people at university and things like that. Like, it's very... I think no matter where you are, I had a bit of a stomp on some plans and things. So the four of you came up with both ideas, and then you just split them up. Is that how it worked?
Kind of not. We split into the two groups, and we obviously brainstormed a lot. So there was sort of three rounds of pitches in GIC. The first was like a little preliminary practice your pitch, get feedback on your idea. They're all assessed, of course.
But, yeah.
And then the next was the sort of semi-final. They had a bit more of a refined, like, board of people, give you harsher feedback, and then pick. I think it was three teams to go through to the final round. And that was the night where we had that worked out. So before the first pitch, I mean, all of our ideas were fairly different. Even the idea Harry and I had come up with was grown upon substantially by the time of the last pitch, for sure.
You guys wanted to do something about parking? Is that the original?
No, the original idea I had was like a heads-up display for a car.
Yeah, that's a bit
more ambitious than a fishing app, but Carl and Josh's idea was very different as well. They pivoted into the tech and board games.
More of like a way to review different bets, because at the time Josh's brother's dog had issues, and they didn't know what vet to go through, and vets give like ranges of different prices, but basically a way to see what vet's good and sort of deals and quotes like that. But it sort of was very not thought through, and it was just like, oh, we want to work with animals, we want to make something that helps animals. But yeah, so we had to sort of pivot from that, because it didn't have much, I guess, business plan to it.
Yeah.
There was no, like, how do we profit from it, or how do we even get the business to grow and do well.
I mean, that's the thing we all learned going through GIC and experiencing more of an entrepreneurial pathway from ComSci. Takes you out of that mindset of how do I make this thing, how do I program this thing into, all right, how is this a product or like a service that people would be interested in using?
Yeah.
What's the customer story? How do you market the thing? How do you present it? How do you pitch an idea to potential investors?
Yeah.
It's a very different mindset. You've got to step back and really think about
it. Yeah, and I think even like our age group, our generation, are very like, we just want to walk in and do it.
Yeah.
We don't think. We're just like, all right, here we go. Got a new app. Let's just do this. That we don't realize costs, you know, investments, like you said, other people's opinions. We're just like, this is the greatest thing ever. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And whereas like, it sounds like what you guys have learned through going through the innovation challenges that like, you know, you're using words like pivot and, you know, like investment. And like, these are things that, like you said, aren't taught to the general amount of general population, but also general university students, you know, who don't study business. So
it definitely should be a little bit more focused for like pretty much every industry. Like, innovation is definitely going to lead us from where we are now to somewhere good in the future.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that it doesn't have to be everyone, but a large majority at least knows that, like, things that we do right now aren't the best all the time.
Yeah.
Things change, the world evolves, whatnot.
Well, it's just like quality improvement in things in the hospital, stuff like that. Like, it's not saying things are bad, but they can always be done better. And it's like, well, how can we do that?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, yes, you can, same as behavior changes, you can give someone an app, or you can give someone like a computer board game type learning facility, but if they're not engaged in it or use it, like, how do you...
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like some like Facebook or something like that could still be built, but no one would be interested in it, and it would just be sitting floating around. But how they did it was,
how do you get to where Facebook is?
Yeah,
it's like it's as much as the end product, it's also about the journey to that end product, the steps along the way.
Mm. That's awesome. It sounds like you guys have like learned so much. So
absolutely.
Mm. And it doesn't. It's not something you can learn overnight either. You know, like same as the kind of the field that you're in now.
Yeah,
so
it's a big change in the way you think about things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like going from realizing that an idea isn't just something in your head, but you need to be able to convey it. And other people need to like the idea. If no one else likes the idea, no matter how technically brilliant it is, it's not worth anything, really, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You've got to make something people are going to want to pick up and go, oh, this is great. I enjoy using this. I want to use this. Yeah.
And so your other projects, are they on the side at the moment, or, you know, underground? Or
yeah, so
on the back
other projects is... I guess it's kind of messy. We've got a little roadmap here. It's just
track. Yeah, use it. Go through it.
The GIC stuff's definitely... like, they're both ideas we still, like, we're very interested in. We've obviously done all the validation and stuff and gone through the GIC process with them. And, well, Fishing Mates especially, like, we managed to get second and you know, we were pretty happy with the idea. And there's things to it we really like. It's just probably something that Hytro isn't really focused on right now. But it's something we'd like to pursue one day.
It's one of those things that we sort of classify as, like, a passion project. Like, it's something that we really want to do. But we need to sort of have cash flow in order to, like, actually be able to do that. I don't know what you've got. I guess we can start with sort of, like, how we got to where we are. Like,
I've got a question here. So, you know, what I call it is, like, the 5 W's. So I want to know everything about Hytro, how you got to where you are. So, like, who, what, when, where, why, how you do it. It looks like you've got it all down. So
yeah, well, I guess we'll start with the who.
Go ahead.
Who is... Carl and myself and Josh and Harry, all four of us graduates from Bachelor of Computer Science, Griffith University, 2019. And that's where we all met. None of us knew each other before then. Carl, Josh and Harry met each other at orientation for that. I sort of met them a bit later on. I sort of got introduced to Carl first and then to Harry and then to Josh as it went on. The background was always just at uni.
Me, Harry and Josh also worked together like ages ago, and this was like, I think it was around first year, sort of the start of second year. And we sort of started doing like sort of a little bit of web dev and app kind of creation. That was through like doing hackathons and just learning so many new skills that you don't actually learn in computer science. Obviously, for those who don't know, computer science is very much about the fundamentals of how computers work. It's not so much like how to build apps and things like that. So we learn the core concepts, but it doesn't allow us to apply those skills. But yeah, so me, Josh and Harry worked on like all different things, and that sort of ended up not really doing anything. And I was pretty involved in the social aspect of the computer science cohort. So I started like a Discord and got everyone involved and try to like teach people. And then I threw a party, I think it was the end of first year.
At that point, I didn't actually know Harry or Josh at all.
No,
I barely knew Carl.
Yeah, so we had was it workshops together originally?
With a couple of other friends who I knew in the degree at the time. At that party, I somehow talked to Harry for long enough to. I ended up working with Harry a little bit as well through the same sort of app venture-y thing that he was doing at the time.
That was a very short thing.
But I think the sort of us having all done something together is kind of what sort of came back together probably about a year later.
So I got us all together at the uni bar in Griffith and was like, look, I want to do something with you guys. Like, I think we can do something. I don't know what exactly it is, but there's no reason we need to finish our degrees and go get jobs. Let's build something. We're all ranging in different skills and we're all like quite intelligent, so let's combine those skills and do something great. And at the time, like, sort of pitched it to be like Omega with like a R instead of an A at the end. That was the original, like, sort of where we were going to go with it.
And a lot of the ideas we had at the time were like, just us being like, oh, imagine if we made this thing. And it was all inspiration from nights and the beers together.
And it was shooting big. Like, it was, some things were like, let's do this. So I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, I was talking about, like, a different height map of, like, a treadmill, like a three-dimensional treadmill. So you could play VR and have, like, steps and stuff. But
oh, wow.
That was just shooting big. Why not? You're young.
Exactly,
You can shoot big.
You've got time on your hands. Yeah. That's the thing,
The idea of Omega was, it came from like, I guess like my online persona. I call myself Carl, like Omega, because I don't want to put my last name everywhere.
Yeah.
And I sort of named it because of that, but then I wanted to abstract it away from me. I wanted it to be an us thing. So that's why we sort of did big, what name are we going to stick to?
Then we'd go to hackathons and sign up with the name Omega, because we spelt it O-M-E-G-R. no one knew, like, you didn't recognize what it was. They'd say, like, Omega, do you want to come up and get your
idea?
And we're like, oh,
that was enough for us to be like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's got to be something people can pronounce at least.
Yeah, and we can't do like Omega because there's like watches and stuff, and we couldn't get like a good like space on the web. So we needed something that was free, like on the web, to like not free money wise, but like open.
Yeah.
And something that is rememberable.
Yeah. So we hadn't, like, the name Hydra came a fair bit later. Like, before that, we did all the GIC stuff. I think the GIC thing was hugely just, we're still at uni, so it was an idea to, you know, do this course where we can explore a business idea. It's a bit of practice, but we could also make something we actually wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
At the same time, it doesn't conflict with our studies, because it is our studies.
Mm. Yeah.
We're getting a uni subject done at the same time, we're learning at uni at the same time, but we're also building towards our goal of having this business or having an idea we want to.
The semester before GIC, we did work experience, integrated learning.
Right.
And I worked with Josh. No, I worked with you.
You worked with me, yeah. We went
and
to,
Josh worked with Harry. So that's why we switched the teams when we went into GIC, because that was sort of what we hadn't done.
Yeah, we did our internships down at the Gold Coast Airport.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so
in the computers section, or like?
Yeah.
So Carl and I did a data science-y thing.
Predicting passenger numbers.
Which
right now is zero.
Unfortunately.
That's cool.
Yeah, Josh and Harry worked on an auditing and inspection app tool for them to use. And all the stuff we made there got used, I think, for a little bit.
Oh, it definitely got used up until COVID.
COVID has thrown a bit of a spanner in the works.
We built sort of like a little thing that would run every morning that would calculate the numbers for them. That was using like linear regression, and just, it was pretty basic stuff, but also the way we applied it was kind of cool. We learned so much.
Yeah. For anyone listening who's familiar with AI, we basically did a neural network that did it, but instead of it being a neural network, it was sort of a
custom
abstracted version of it.
It worked really well.
Yeah.
It was just very biased in the sense of, because we could categorize what airlines, and
that's amazing.
That was a lot of fun. So yeah, we switched the groups up to GIC. Had obvious ideas that came out of that, but after GIC, it sort of moved into, we were done uni,
grad,
and sort of post grad, we weren't exactly sure what the first step was. We didn't know what to make. We didn't know if we should do client work, if we should come up with our own idea to pursue, look for an investor, try and do it on our own.
Yeah.
At the time, a lot of us still had other side gigs. Like, Carl was working at Woolies, I was working at Target.
Mm.
Josh was working actually with one of the clients we have now under Hytro.
Oh, cool.
And Harry also has another job that he got post-grad that he was working on. So it was all a bit all over the place for
a couple
of months.
What should we do?
And it came back together a little bit. We had a client in January, February. We worked with Giggle briefly, which is like a live music venue list kind of website.
Okay, cool.
And it's someone who Carl and Harry had worked with before.
So through the stuff we did earlier in uni, and sort of cascaded into that, like, because Harry was still working with someone else, and then they met this guy that like runs Giggle, and then we did some work for him to try and like fix a lot of stuff, and then broke off that after just a bit of time, because we wanted to focus on our own stuff.
Mm.
Like, we didn't want to client focus. It got to that point where we need clients to earn money to keep running.
Mm.
But if we just do clients our whole life, then we're not really doing anything passionate wise.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between that and just working a job?
We need a little bit more creativity in there, I think. We do have a bit of a balance of what we sort of work on. So we've got, at that point, we sort of were tossing up again, going maybe back towards Fishing Mates a bit. We're about to jump on with another client, they're Multitech, they're a mining supplier of equipment. They're based out of Logan in Australia. We're about to jump on with them. We sort of had these projects lined up and planned out, but then COVID just sort of wiped that all away for a few months. And we're working with them again now, but that was sort of like very unsure time.
Yeah,
but that's when we met one of our now current business partners on our project Hover, which is Colin Jewell. He's a chef who I met through a mate who worked in the same kitchen with him. Referred us on. I caught up with him just around the corner here in Varsity Lakes and had a chat, and he explained the idea.
Yeah,
we took it back to the boys, and we talked
about it. Met up with him at Hotel.
pilot, yeah, Carl and I and Josh went up and
Had
a chat with him, and we liked the idea, and we liked got along with Colin well, and we've been growing that idea ever since during COVID, and now we're sort of coming up on an actual app launch for this thing. So
yeah, wow, that's
awesome.
Sort
of our
COVID definitely had its pluses and minuses, though. Like,
it gave us a plus in the way of, because nothing was happening anywhere else, it gave us time to work on Hover and
focus on
and
passion
stuff.
Without too much worry about cash flow and things like that.
And I think it slowed us down forcibly, because I think coming out of uni, we sort of flew right into doing stuff and didn't really know what we were doing and didn't exactly know what Hydro was going to be.
Breather.
Yeah, and it gave us a time to, we all had like a month or two off just to sort of relax after uni and sort of just do nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Be an ISO like everyone else.
Yeah.
And then jump back into it after, you know, we chatted and we knew this is what we want Hydro to be and what we want to do, and these are the projects we're interested in, you know, following up on with people we've been talking to, and it helped in the way of slowing us down just for a month or two just to think about
it. Definitely, if it didn't happen, we'd be in a different spot we are now.
Slowing down as in like not knowing where to go, is that what you mean, or do you mean like slowing down because you're picking too much?
Yeah, defining what we wanted to do, like really thinking about, like you said before, talking about the entrepreneurial stuff, bridging it from the this is what we can think in our heads of a technical idea that's cool, to sitting down and going, what is Hydro, what do we want to achieve, what do we want to work on, what are we passionate about?
Yeah.
We
had a meeting and we settled on like we should focus 70% on the stuff we want to do, and then 30% is stuff that we need to keep running, so things like clients and whatnot, and that's sort of what we still kind of follow. It's quite different now, our workload's pretty full on.
Yeah.
So it's like 100 and 100.
I like that. Oh wow. So what's next on the paper? Is there anything else? Or
yeah, so
is that it? Yeah.
Now that we've got sort of Multitech as one of our clients, Hover's getting really close to its release. We've also got Fishing Mates on the back burner, so when we have time we really want to follow that. We ended up getting this office space, which has been like super great, because now it's just, it just feels a lot more professional. And
yeah, of course.
Being in such a nice space.
Yeah. to touch on it for the listeners, I suppose, because I think we were talking about it before the mic went on, but before maybe a month and a bit ago, we were just out of my spare room.
Yeah.
It was very, startup, trusted table in the spare room, spare bed's like a meter away, and just sitting there with dining table chairs and working away.
I love it, eh? It's like something like a movie. It's so good.
Yeah. And we looked at an office idea.
We worked out of the garage.
Yeah, Carl's garage at his last place. Yeah. And we started looking at offices, but we sort of missed a couple of things we liked, so we went, we won't worry.
And it was expensive.
Yeah, but
we
stumbled into, Sylvie was starting on Pop Space sort of at the perfect time for us, and I know a lot of people around Varsity Lakes just because my dad used to work down here, and they got referred on here, and we've been here ever since, really.
Great co-working space.
The idea of a co-working space, something we weren't sure on at first, but it's actually really good, especially when it's a smaller, intimate setting like Pop Space, because you can get a lot of insight and learn a lot just from talking to other people, because not everyone has the same knowledge or experience.
Definitely, that's definitely what
helps the profession, grow professionally, I think, a lot,
And something like, say, for example, Cohort, or like, there's a new one in Burley called Flocked, and they're just very big. Like, you wouldn't have that, personal interaction that you'd think that you'd be searching for.
When we were working for Giggle, we actually worked out of a co-working space, the Griffith Hub, I think it was called. What was it called? Gold Coast Hub. Sorry.
Okay, I know the one, yep.
Yeah, and that was a good space, but it was just, definitely felt like we were just in our own little space doing our own thing. This is definitely a different experience in that regard, where it's, you get to know the people that you work around, and they have skills that you don't, and you interact and learn things, update news, etc.
The thing we love about the Varsity area is it's such its own little community.
Everyone
knows each other.
When I was driving in, I was I could live here. Look at those little shops, and there's a Subway.
Yeah,
and like
it's
there's a
S-tier food.
It's a beautiful place. The food's good. It's cheap. The local, a lot of the restaurant owners and cafe owners, sort of we start to chat with them and stuff, and you run into people who you know in the street. It's just a great little area. But Varsity CBD. Yeah.
That's what you need. Yeah, exactly. It's quite pretty and stuff like that. And you got the houses and things. It's very
a bit less corporate than Bundle or Southport.
Yeah, of course. And you're not personally where I live, I don't want to be up that way anyway. Like, you spend so much time up there with Griffith. Like,
yeah.
You can only spend so much more time
yeah.
up there.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a little refresh for us, I think, that it's away from uni.
Yeah.
You know, it's its own different thing. It's the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, you
exactly.
The next space, your head space changes
yeah.
a bit, I think. You know.
Yeah, separate it all. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So for people who... We can come back to this, or if you want to.
Oh, no, we're pretty much.
So, like you said, you mentioned it before, Carl. So, with like, when people don't understand computer science in terms of like building something or app development or, you know, ones and zeros,
yeah.
I know there's like a bit of, in like, you know, languages and programming involved. So, like, can you explain to the listeners, like, what computer science, like, what is it you guys do as Hydro, or even in general, in computer, being a computer scientist? Like,
yeah.
what is the.
So. I guess the name is very literal in that sense. People generally hear the word computer and they just think like everything to do with tech.
Mm.
But computer science in and of itself is the science around computers. So
mm.
it's how do computers work? How does it turn electricity into things like that? How does your code, like your ideas and your code turn into things that the computer can process?
Mm.
And it's trying to abstract some sort of problem you have, whether that be like a math problem or creating an app. Trying to abstract that into how do I write logic for that
mm.
do it through that. I guess one of the analogies I learned through uni, I guess comparatively to IT, is IT takes technologies and builds them onto businesses. So in a sense, it's kind of roughly what we're doing now, but mm. computer science is creating new technologies to help whoever. So.
Mm.
For instance, like IT might be a bit more focused on creating websites for a business, an existing business, and helping them grow. Whereas computer science is like, well, how do we create the next website? Like, not a website, but what is the next thing? Like VR
yeah.
or... You know,
yeah, I get it.
And
okay.
That core understanding that we, I guess, learned through uni has helped us a lot in terms of like what actually is doable and what isn't.
Mm.
So like, you can pitch an idea like maybe like, VR where you can live in your own world, but we know the limitations of our current software. We know that maybe one day, but right now it's not really doable.
Mm.
Things like that. Can't really think of any examples, but a lot of the time people have ideas like, oh, maybe that if you walk into, say, a pub, your phone already like shows the ID to the person and things like that. And it's like, well, it's not really doable because you have to run your phone all the time and all these things and limitations. That
yeah, the differences
of, yeah.
I can really clearly see now. So, like, for example, it's not like building the next Instagram, but it's building, like, the next phone or the next computer
yeah.
or the next, like you said, VR or the
yeah,
next whatever.
It's,
like
it's really innovating, like the core technologies.
Mm.
It's not so
yeah.
much just, like, how do we take websites now and make them good? It's how do we make them better.
Yeah, so, for example, like, say, like a Google Home, that wasn't invented, say, 10 years ago. So
yeah.
It was computer science that
yeah.
has developed the Google Home.
Yeah, and that's also
yeah.
a combination of electrical engineering, and that's where computer science originated from. It was from mathematics and electrical engineering, so it was taking hardware and math and solving problems.
Yeah.
And IT was a boom of it when the internet sort of started, and that was because all these computer scientists made like the internet and all these things, and then the IT people were like, well, how do we apply this to business? So there's definitely a need for both.
Mm.
But yeah, the leading back to like innovation and what we really want to do, computer science has definitely helped us with how do we make something new and different and futuristic, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because there will be something, we don't know what it is. And like you
yeah.
said, like you can only think about it like say when you're in primary school, when you had like a Nokia, right?
Yeah.
And look what we've got now. Like it's insane. Like no
yeah.
one had laptops. You're all,
yeah.
you had desktops and stuff. Whereas like things would, they have not have to, but they will eventually just grow and continue to just
yeah.
cycle. Like it will never just. You think now, like oh, I've got the iPhone.
Yeah.
Like oh, cool. Is that it? Like
no.
Like there will be something else for sure.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Piece of glass with holograms on it or something.
Yeah, yeah, things like that.
Yeah, we definitely hit like I guess sort
Tony
of ceilings
Stark,
with things.
Yeah, yeah.
So like right now, phones are getting to the point where the next one kind of looks like the old one,
mm.
and there's not really a big step, but at some point. And I don't know when, no one really knows when, at some point someone will come up with something completely new that will add to that and be like huge.
Yeah.
Like when, say, fingerprints got added to phones and
mm.
things like that. The touchscreen was a huge one.
Mm.
Like that was a big step for phone industry at least.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. It's just like, and it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Being in computer science to be like, well, what can I do? Like, what is the thing that I'm going to come up with?
Exactly.
Yeah, a huge thing as well. It's interesting to see is when you do have that business knowledge and that people knowledge combined with it, you can see why stuff like so many innovations, right? There's so many things that come out and just don't hit where they're meant to.
Mm.
Like, I can guarantee you, someone when they made the Google Glass thought, this is going to be the next phone. And, well, look where that went.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, every idea, again, it's that you've got to have people who can make that and people who can sell that.
Yeah. It's Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in that regard. Mm. Steve Wozniak came up with, like, this awesome idea of an Apple computer, like personal computer. And Steve Jobs was like, that's really good, but we need to be able to like sell it and grow on it. And without that, Apple definitely wouldn't be where it is today.
Mm.
But they definitely wouldn't have kept growing and making it right for the general public and community. And yeah, it's definitely that sort of balance that's really required. It's not just like you can be the next like Bill Gates and Steve Wozniak, but if you can't sell it, you can't find a way to...
It's not useful to anyone. Yeah,
yeah,
like you can have the greatest, you know, say for the greatest water bottle in the world, right? It fills itself up, for some example. But
yeah,
like if you can't sell that to people, you can't, it's like there's no point in you just having it. Like it's something that's beneficial to everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like how do we get it into the hands of people to use?
Yeah,
so.
And computer science is something that, it's an in-depth field. Like there's not a lot of people who know a lot about it who haven't studied it, who haven't looked into it.
So
like
it's
AI and stuff.
Kind of resurgence.
Yeah, you know that your phone can detect your face to log in. You know that a Tesla can drive itself, but it's how that happens.
Yeah.
You know? All the theory behind, you know, how something like that.
How
comes
to break
out.
It down into the simple things like
what's
well,
yeah, behind the scenes.
The
interaction
between how a computer thinks about something and how a person thinks about something.
Because when people look at like you know say computer science, they're like, right, cool, like they make the apps that are on my phone, but like. They don't actually make the app. They're in the background, like, how does the app work? How does it fix when you do this? What does it do? Like, and in terms of AI, like, have you learned a bit more about that type of stuff? Like,
yeah, so Sam's major.
Kind of major. Kind of.
Oh, this is...
yeah.
Main field of study.
Yeah, my main field of study was in AI and data science. And Carl and I worked together on data science and AI at the airport. So
Yeah.
Something we love doing. I think we had so much fun working on it. We're eager for the day we can start to bring that into our projects
and
here.
Hopefully with Hover...
Yeah,
we can then use that to help I guess even boost the economy now in this like time that we're at.
And it's something I didn't think I'd find as interesting as it is.
Yeah.
When you hear data science, you go, oh, it's just like looking at spreadsheets. But there's
yeah,
so much more to
it.
Like the, it's a much more tangible thing than you think.
It's also
so,
super creative. Like I think that's something that people don't really realise. They hear data science and data mining and they're like, oh, it's a bunch of math. But it's
not
really
in an artistic sense,
yeah.
But it's there's a 100% there's creativity in the problem solving.
Yeah.
It.
How do you
I
take
think,
value
yeah.
out of the data?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what computer science is all about, is problem solving.
Yeah, whenever I watch like a pitch or whatever, everyone like the investors are like, all right, so what are you going to do with this data? Like, if you got all this data, but to the investor who doesn't know anything about computer science, that is like, cool, we've got a bunch of numbers, we've got thousands of people. What can we do with it? Like, what's it useful for?
Mm.
And that's like where, like you said, the AI and stuff comes in handy to be able to do something with it.
And again, like a lot of businesses don't know the value of their own data.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know what you can glean from that. And at a look on a spreadsheet, I'm sure there's things you can tell. Oh, this correlation's very obvious, but there's so much more in-depth stuff that a human just couldn't comprehend on their own.
It's all hidden, hey?
Yeah.
Press a couple of buttons. Get someone of you guys in there and be like, right, cool, bang, got the next product for you guys. Like,
and it's crazy too because it's like a lot of companies think like, oh, we've got all this data, so we can just do it. But it does really take someone who's adapt to that to actually find the value, and that's the whole sense of what data mining is.
Mm.
I guess it sounds like you're mining data, but you're more so mining value out of data. So, I guess that's a better description of it because you take this big pool of data, but how do you then make it into something that's valuable?
Like, you've got a huge bunch of rocks. There's probably a bunch of coal in there that you can sell for a lot of money, but you've got to know where to look.
Yeah.
Most of those rocks are worthless.
That's awesome. That's a good outlook to find, find the gold or find the coal, whatever it is.
And that's why mining's a good term for it, I think.
But I think data mining, you think, oh, I'm just going to collect more data.
Yeah.
Play Minecraft all day. And so It sounds like I spoke on this phone with Sam last week. It sounds like you're growing like quite fast. Like,
past month or so.
So I think that COVID's definitely left an impact on a lot of industries where people who are doing well and do have money because people are going online. They want new tech. They want to invest in new tech. They want to digitize things. They want to bring out a new app. There's a lot of people, a lot of companies that don't have a lot to do in some traditional sense, so they want to come up with a new digital idea. Yeah. So we've had a lot going on, and we've really had to pick and choose the stuff we're most keen on doing. We've been tied up in doing Hover for the last probably 4 months or so. And then more recently, working on projects with Multitech again. But it's tricky to try and figure out what we're doing. It's at a point for us where we want to grow and be able to take on more and do more, but we're only four people. It's knowing and talking to other people who are in the industry. It's tricky to know when you bring someone else on and how to manage them, and you've got to get your cash flow right. So
it's not linear.
Your bills and, it's tricky.
Because you hire people, then you've got to manage them, so you don't get as much out of it.
Yeah, and there's the classic saying of
the money still. Is linear.
If you want to do one task and you have one person, if you make that one task have two people, it doesn't make it get done twice as quick.
There's a famous quote in computer science, and it's what one programmer can do in 1 month, two programmers can do in 2 months.
Yeah.
It's because there's the same amount of work. Like, you can't do it any quicker. It's not like labor or anything. It's definitely like a mental thing. So it's really hard to hire like more people to program because there's not always tasks for them to do. I guess that's what I manage, and that's my sort of goal here at Hydro, is to make sure that everyone's doing enough things that it's working together real well.
Yeah.
Because if we all try to do the same thing, it's just going to be slow.
Kind of the same, like, in the kitchen, like if you put something in the oven, if you put twice the heat, it's not going to cook twice as fast. It's just going to burn. With the task.
Yeah.
So
you can have five people do five things at the same time, and obviously there's five things will get done at the same time. We have five people do one thing, and it's probably not going to be quicker, but maybe you'll learn things from each other. And
so how do you guys work? Like, go, obviously there's four of yous now, and you kind of like, you're all friends and all together. So what? How do you? Is there any mishaps or any arguments, or like, how's the team work?
Like, humans inherently have conflicts, but I think what really key is we're really good at resolving that. We're very open.
We're like a little family.
You
might get frustrated. Your mum asks you to take out the rubbish, but it's your mum.
Exactly.
When Carl tells me off for not getting something done, I'm like, oh, well, he's probably right.
Yeah, that's good. You gotta have that. And how do you think you'd go? Like, I know you mentioned like an internship or something that was happening.
So we have an intern in. It's kind of hard because we've got a huge amount of workload, which makes it hard for us to focus on him, because we've got work to do and we've got to get it done. It's looking good because we need a lot of things done now. I guess you can think of it in a sense of like traffic lanes. Like, it's not like the car's going faster. If you have more lanes, you can get more cars done at the same time.
We
do love the idea of learning through teaching.
There's like a couple of stats out there that you learn quicker when you teach something.
And for anyone familiar, we develop mostly in React Native is our stack that we use here at the moment. And that's something we've only been using for maybe 3-4 months. Like, we've only really
started Hover.
And it's JavaScript and TypeScript. It's the same languages and stuff. It's similar to what we've worked in before, but it is new and has its own stuff to learn and its own quirks to learn.
We're still
picking it up, and we're all teaching each other, and it's just like studying at uni together in a way. But only it's pretty less stressful, to be honest.
We studied a lot together during uni, so we do have that sort of like, how do we learn something together? Me and Josh did the same major. We did software development, and we had like many days, like all day studying and stuff. I won't put it down lightly, but computer science is very hard.
So, like you said, there's not many people who do it.
Walk in and do it. You have to really put the time in to actually study all the things. You need to remember so many algorithms. It's quite math involved. The biggest core thing is like logic. Like, if you're not good at logic, computer science is going to be insanely difficult.
Yeah.
And like, it's just how it is.
Yeah. Like, in a way, it's like learning a language that's different from English in its sentence structuring. You've got to think about where a different word fits in the sentence when you're speaking.
Mm.
Computer science is its own different way of thinking. Like, you know, oh, I can look at this and tell how to do it instantly, but a computer can't.
Yeah, that's like you said before about the human and computer brain. Like, how can I, you know,
hi,
my name's Nathan. How can I write this so that it says, tells that the computer in their language so it can read it and then give that to the customer or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and so that's why AI is getting really popular in neural networks, because they sort of abstract that so you don't have to do the thinking of how to turn, say, a photo into computer language or whatnot. I won't go down that because it's
rabbit hole.
Big rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's sort of what it feels. It's, I guess, original. Like, ideology is, it's the solution to every problem, but you've got to be able to, how to turn the problem into its problem.
Yeah. Not yours, so you're not yelling
yeah.
at it. Yeah. And so with like, obviously we won't go super deep
yeah.
into it, so like neural network, so is, so basically like, for example, like Siri, is that what you mean by that? Or?
So Siri is a bit different. I'm not sure how much neural network Siri has, even though you kind of think of her as an AI, but a lot of the times what Siri or a lot of the assistants do is they take your voice, and the only part of that is actually a neural network is just converting your voice into text, and then it uses just querying that text to find out a solution of it. There's bits in here and there, but they're not at the point where they're more or less a neural network that just takes in your thing and gives you an answer.
Something we probably forgot to mention when we start talking about neural networks is, for the layman, what it is. And it's just a way of, you program this thing that can solve a very complicated equation, basically, in a very similar way to how a human learns something, how your synapses in your brain, you know, when you do something new and you learn something new or you recognize a new pattern, the way that your brain learns to go, oh, that's the letter S. And it's trying to simulate that in a computer and teach the computer how to look at the letter S and then be able to print out the character S from looking at a picture of the letter S. No, that's the same thing.
Oh, wow.
And that's all about, I guess you can think of it as like a box or even just a calculator, just a normal calculator. And what you do is you feed it in numbers and it pops out something.
Yeah.
And the way you teach how the calculator to do stuff is you say, well, if I feed you this number, this is what I want you to give me.
Yeah.
And then it tries to go, all right, well, I'll just configure myself a little bit to do that, and then you feed it a different number and give it an out, see what it gets, and if it's wrong, if it's not what you want, you say, well, this is how you correct it, and then it goes, oh, well, now I need to be able to do that and this, and it slowly evolves itself. And
computer
there's
learning.
A lot of math involved.
Yeah, computer learning.
Not like teaching someone, teaching a kid how to read in a way. You put the words in front of them and tell them to read it, and then you try and read it, and then maybe they get it wrong, so you tell them what was wrong, and then tell them to do it again.
Yeah.
And you just keep throwing data at them and telling them what was wrong until they go, okay, I get it now.
That's insane.
And similarly, if you had someone that doesn't speak good and they're trying to teach someone, that someone will learn how to speak like that person.
Mm.
Like, that's where accents come from. And in a way, it's kind of how neural networks work. If you give it a set of data, that neural network will be biased to that data. So there's a lot of things in place to sort of try to fix that, and where we are now with hardware, it's getting a lot better to be able to process this, like now that we can process on GPUs instead of just CPUs. Allows you to parallelly? But do a lot of things
in parallel.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, yeah. And so you guys did computer software development, you and Josh, and then, so you did AI?
Yeah, Harrison.
And then
Harrison.
Oh, you both
did
AI?
Yeah. But we didn't do every subject, so we both technically don't have a major in data science and AI.
Yeah.
But we've done the subjects out of that that pertained to machine learning and data mining and analytics. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's good that you can pick that path, you know, like majoring in something that you want to kind of do.
Well, I'm really big on the like algorithms and things like that, and it's not that I didn't like data science, but that's why I did my internship with data science.
Mm.
I wanted to be able to sort of have a feel in both.
Yeah, build your skills in different places,
yeah
where you can. That's cool.
Yeah, and I guess we sort of all learn from each other in that regard.
And so how did these clients find you, or you found them? So how, like, you know, in terms of Hydro, like, obviously you said you've met some people here and there, and you just say, hi, I'm a software developer, what can I do for you? Or is it...
Sometimes just sort of like...
We walked into a few...
Yeah. That's...
We walked into Colin with Hover, like, you know, a really close friend of mine from school close friend of Carl's as well now. He just works as a kitchen hand.
Mm.
They worked in the same kitchen because Colin's a chef, and Colin said, I'm looking for people to help me develop an app, and that's how we met him.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of word of mouth at that point.
With Multitech,
awesome.
Who's probably our biggest client, Josh, his dad works for them, so Josh has been working with them for a couple of years now, developing some apps.
He did some side work with them while he was at uni.
And that's just slowly fallen under Hytro now that Josh is here.
And that's because we can get a lot more done, and our skills together work a lot better than just one.
Yeah. And other people we meet, normally it's anyone else we're talking to at the moment is through someone, so through a friend who knows them or someone we've met at university or at a networking event.
It's been kind of I'm not going to lie, it's been somewhat easy in that regard. We haven't had to go looking.
We've got a good little network.
Mm.
But in saying that, it's still really hard doing the stuff we do.
Choosing
things to take.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you've got people turn up at your door every day, I can do that for you in 6 months. When I've got all this done, because I just can't take it on right now. Give them a timeline. They go, all right, we'll come back 6 months.
We've had to do that with some people that have approached us with things that they want to do.
Yeah.
So we've just it sounds really good, but we're really...
Your capacity, what I mean?
Thing for us is we don't want to half-ass anything. We want to be proud of and know it's a... The client's happy, we're happy, the user will be happy. We want everything to be good and feel good.
Quality everything is
quality over quantity.
Yeah, if you're pumping out 100 crap apps or softwares, it's these guys are quick, but it's rubbish. Coming back.
And other people make hundreds of crap apps a year. Colin already, he's gone through two different iterations of the app because he's just gone to people who just want to pump them out.
A company in Sydney, I think it might have been originally, and they were just basically trying to spit out project after project, and some companies that do that do it well because they're organized and they sort of have boilerplate stuff that they can use.
They know what they can take.
But when you have an idea Hover, you have to build a unique platform. It's not just something that you can copy and paste from somewhere.
It's not just another Instagram or another SoundCloud ripoff. A bit more involved.
Brand new, that's amazing. And it's good that you have that, now, because then it's like you said, word of mouth, build quite organically, bang, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You can't come on this, someone listens up, I've got an idea, whatever, it's bang, this is how you get in touch with Hytro.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And the networking goes both ways. We've met a lot of people through it who we've learned a lot off, Naomi, because she was our uni professor, but she's given us so much good advice.
And networking.
And networking, that's how we sort of met you, realistically. And how we set up, this was through Naomi, and we've met a lot of other people, our accountant was through someone who we knew, and you get a lot out of networking.
Something that I learned, I think it was orientation of computer science, and it was, there's three kind of jobs that you'll get through uni or through doing a degree. You'll get the jobs that you finish your degree and you go apply for. They're sort of the jobs, you can live that life and it's fine.
Yeah.
And there's the jobs that you'll find through your connections. So, you work for a company and you offer me a job because you know me.
Yeah.
And your company
You're Target and wanted to build
that. They're
a lot
better because
Sam,
you don't really have to look for them.
Mm.
And then there's a third type, and that's where you get requested from people because people find out about you through connections. And the big thing is making sure you strengthen those connections. While inherently computer science is, I guess, a little bit of an antisocial, a lot of the time the people who are a bit more introverted.
You're pretty heads down doing...
You're deep in the computer,
So I think it's really important that anyone going into tech really makes sure that they strengthen their network. Well, more important. And I don't mean in the sense of just get more people on LinkedIn. Actually, go out for lunch with people that you meet.
Do something
find
for
out
them for
about
free.
Them. Just find out more about what they're doing in tech, and you'll learn from that. And I guess don't be naive in the sense of you don't know everything about tech. You'll never know everything about tech.
Yeah.
Try and learn as much as you can and build those connections.
And in a lot of ways, tech is as useful as it is to another industry. Finding people, if you want to make apps or websites, finding another some like Colin in hospitality, you know, it's finding out what that industry is like and how your discipline and that discipline overlap, what connects, and what can your skills improve, but what can you learn from them to best hone your skills in that area or solve that problem, you know.
And so what is, so take us through Hover, if you're, are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is sort of been out there for a few years now.
Yeah.
HOVAAPP.
Yeah. the idea used to be called Hospitality Vault, but we've done a bit of a rebrand to Hover.
Yeah.
Just
surprisingly just really nice.
Less of a mouthful.
Yeah, no, I just I looked at it there, I'm like, oh, it's the first two letters, like bang, that's
yeah.
in,
yeah,
of each,
yeah.
Hospitality Vault, that's cool.
So yeah, Hover's a platform that connects hospitality skilled workers with businesses. So a business can go on, look through a little list of workers to fill a shift that they need. So if you need a chef on the weekend because your chef called in sick at your restaurant, you can find someone who's right for your business really quick. And all the staff get to pick their hours, set their rates. They're working when they want, where they want, for how much they want.
Yeah.
So it gives control to both parties.
Yeah, wow.
And tries to bring a healthy and on-demand community together, essentially.
Yeah, we've got some real big key things, like it's free to the business. So a lot of like our competitors in that regard are agencies and whatnot, and they charge businesses. And it's like, well,
to like look at my list
of
workers.
The business is going to pay for the staff anyway, so... We're charging for that isn't really going to help us.
Yeah, a lot of agencies are quite quite expensive on the business and on the staff.
Yeah.
That's an area we thought could be improved upon, or Colin thought could be improved upon.
Yeah, and we're definitely giving power to, we call them agents, and they're anyone working in hospitality, and we let them set their rate.
Yeah.
So if you think you're worth 35, well, obviously we've got things in place to make sure you're paying above minimum wage, but if you think you're worth 35 maybe on Sundays, or maybe Sundays you're worth 50, then you can set that, you can set your availability and say I'll only work this time to this time if you pay me this.
We love the idea of letting those workers grow their profile and grow their reputation.
There's a whole rating system.
I
was going to say reviews.
We think that you know, the skills that these people have as chefs, bartenders, baristas, these valuable skills, and they're worth money to businesses, and they can market themselves well, and you know, help them market themselves on the app, and give them those connections in the industry local to them. We think it brings a lot to the industry, helping it come back out of COVID, because obviously a lot of people have lost their jobs, and a lot of restaurants now opening back up more and more as restrictions change. They don't have the staff to meet the demand, and a lot of it is on demand, because you never know if next week the restrictions will be back. And this gives, you know, it gives everyone flexibility. It caters to a lot of people, and contracted chefs and contracted workers can use it to find any work. Or if you're a uni student and you just want to be a waiter on the weekend, you can use that to pick up some extra cash as well.
Yeah,
Even at, you know, you're in line at Burger Urge at the uni, and like, oh, we're tipping down the staff. Like, man, jump on the Hover. You get any student here in the whole place can work for you.
Yeah.
Rock.
Exactly.
After class today,
we've been really like, with our whole like design process, we've been really focused on, it's super simple. Like, you can create an account under 5 minutes, you can set availabilities for the whole month really easily, and then businesses can find you in, like, they can create an account in under 5 minutes, they can search you like almost immediately, pop up, boom, send a request.
Well, yeah, gone are the days of walking around with a like a plastic sleeve for the resumes, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your profile's your resume. Your resume's on there if you need it to be.
Yeah. A lot of us, I think, I've never liked having to walk into establishments and
having
the resumes.
Horrible.
It's awkward. They don't want to do it. You don't want to do it.
Yeah. Just give me the job.
Just,
like, why do you want this?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm here for a job, mate. Like,
it cuts it down. And they know that you're, you know, they can see your record, and they know your record, and they know that you're good, and they know that you're skilled. And, you know, hopefully you also, at the same time, know that you're going to a business that's going to respect your time. They're paying you the rates you want and when you want them, and you know, it helps us to ensure a good healthy connection.
Well, yeah, and got, like, you know, for example, I've worked in hospo for years, like for where I am now, and like some, it's like Sunday session, whatever, you just get slammed. Like, you don't actually, just don't have enough staff like to serve everyone, do whatever. Like, the kitchen's got 1,000 dockets. Like, you're just like, oh, this is, we just need some hands.
Yeah, and
bang, manager's like, yep, cool, we need someone for 3 hours.
As long as you give them like an hour just so they can get there and get ready, then we've enabled it. So you just need someone the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Someone calls in sick, you can fill fill that spot.
Yeah, everyone has like casuals, like uni students and school, like not school students, but uni students, people in their 20s, like, it's Sunday, you're already out doing things. Your work calls, you're a casual, you're not going to, you know, you're like, I'm already out, I'm at the beach. You know,
it also
it's hard to find someone because you've got to chase up your stuff, but on Hover you just go on, there's people who are saying, I'm ready to work right now.
Yeah.
Get me in.
I'm available. And then when they you request them, all they do is they go, oh, well, I want that shift. And they book in, and then that means they're working. And if they, like, there's, we've got things in place to make sure that, that if they cancel that like, there's obviously
repercussions,
Because we don't want people cancelling if they're not going to do it, but we do understand that people do get sick last minute and things like that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, my partner works as a raffers, and, like, sorry if they're listening, but, like, that place is run so shit. Like, there's people calling sick every day, and I'm just like, I'll just fire these kids. They're all calling in sick. What are they doing? You know, like.
Yeah.
But this is where it comes in place. You're like, we need a barista. Obviously, it might not be. You might not be familiar with like the setup, but like, you got a coffee machine. You got a milk mug. Like, come in. You know, bang. You know, you got the skills. Apply them, because we've just got cars coming through every day, getting whatever they're ordering. You know, we just need someone to make the coffee.
A huge thing we want to build into it is just getting that. That flow of how is this as convenient and quick as it is. Hospitality is quick. It's high turnover. It needs to be now. It needs to work how they want it. Places, you know, they have their own weird coffee machine or proprietary way of doing things.
Yeah.
You know, how can this app streamline that?
So we've got
place
ideas
your resume,
to,
you know.
Yeah.
So businesses sort of view, like, their profile is sort of that tutorial for someone to be like, oh, this is how I fill that job.
Mm.
So if they get requested and they accept it, then they can see maybe a little video of what you need to know before your shift and things like that, and just streamline that whole process.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, this is where you pick up your, you know, your apron or whatever when you come in. Get your apron, sign in here, bang, then you're ready to go. This is
and
where you can put the glasses, like,
And you've got like such a right now, there's so many unemployed people looking for that, like, that work, and you've got so many businesses that had to let go of these contract, like full-time people, these part-time people, that now they're, when things start picking up, that they're going to need people, and that's what we're going to try and, like, sort of fill.
And it can't even be, like you said, you know, how does your industry work with other industries, like, it can be applicable to you guys, you know, this terms of the idea of the app, like, okay, we need an intern for Hydro, all right, here's the, you know, 5 hours of onboarding videos, and then we can hire you. Like, if you've watched this at any time, you know what, this is how things work. We need you for this task, come in, bang, in and out. Like,
yeah, so we have that, those ideas of expanding to different industries. And yeah, we won't really go too much down there, but yeah, that stuff is in question, and the way we've built this is to sort of cater for that. We've abstracted it enough away from hospitality to be able to be expanded, but also it's still close enough to hospitality to be, these are the things that you need in hospitality. Like, you need to know what skills who you're employing has. Like, are they a chef or are they just a waiter? Are they a waiter and a chef? Like, maybe you can feel that half day.
Yeah. And, like, Gold Coast is a great place to do this. Like, you look around anywhere, like, there's new restaurants and shit opening all the time.
Yeah, Gold Coast has great cafe and food culture, I think.
Yeah.
People really enjoy eating out here, and, you know, thankfully at the moment we're not too touched by the pandemic to not be able to enjoy that culture. So, you know, obviously being local, we're flighting the app here. So if anyone listening is interested in having a look at it, you know, probably October will be the month. We're, you know, putting it completely free for workers as well during that flight period.
Wow.
So you can jump on and have a go and see if it's for you. And we get some nice data out of it to validate, you know, how the app's working, and make sure that it's up to scratch and doing exactly what we want it to be doing.
And we really value the feedback, so we really want to see what people need in it too.
And if any businesses are interested in using it, then obviously they can jump in during the flight. We're just trying to curate a little bit who's using it, so we know and we can get feedback.
That's awesome.
We'd love to hear from anyone who's interested in the idea. So
Reach out, guys. These, you know, up and coming, it's the new thing. Get on there, the Gold Coast. And so, are you guys, you still guys are up for time? You got nowhere to be at the moment? So with, like, say with the app, so it comes out on, how do you guys go with like a launching period? Like, how does that, you know, grab this, get on board?
We're planning on essentially flighting it for a couple of months, so like I said, October's the time. So we want to bring it out Gold Coast only, Pimp Ma through Tweed, use the app. It's definitely got the idea of it being local in Hover, you know, and we like to foster that idea right now of, you know, you're supporting your local community, you're going in to help out, you're going out to support your local cafes and stuff when you're working there, like you're helping pick up that slack for them, but also the cafes are supporting you, they're booking local workers, people who are near them, who need the work.
Yeah.
And we think it'll grow good connections in hospitality in that way, but yeah, the flight will be October, it'll have two phases. The first phase is rolling it out. It'll have a few less features just to get the core of the app down, and really make sure we've got our UX down. And like I said, during that period, it's completely free. And then after we go into the second phase, there'll just be a booking fee on every booking, of course, and we'll also have a subscription model that's more suited to your workload that you're doing.
We're definitely aiming for a subscription base, so you can just keep getting shifts as you want, but we're not locking people into you have to pay us a month. If you just want to shift once in a blue moon, then you can go in and you just have to pay a booking.
Your Saturday night gets cancelled.
And we want people to be confident they're going into it knowing they're getting what they're getting out. So that's why, you know, we want to give during the second period as well, like a free booking every week. We want to make sure once it launches, people are able to try before they buy, make sure that they like the app, that it's got what they want, there's people near them booking them. We want to make sure that the app is best suited for every city in Australia before we go for a nationwide
release. And then, like, you know, I guess then it comes to the point where, like, hey, which postcode are you in? Bangs, where I am. This is the high tier site.
So you put your address in, and it just gets your, like, locality. So, like, Barsley Lakes or whatever it might be.
That's awesome.
Also means you don't have to drive all the way up to Brizzy looking for work.
That's amazing. Like, you drive past, like, you know, the pie shop and, like, I need someone tonight, bang, like, we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, where do you guys want to go, you know, with Hytro? So, like, obviously, with Hover, you launch it, and then do you leave it for a bit? Or do you, work on something else?
There's a lot of stuff we want to keep building into it, and obviously, only so much time in the day. So, once we have our validation from flighting, and we know which things in the app we want to improve and grow, and what our user base think, then we'll look to implement that and some more features we've got in mind,
and then we'll
and just grow that as much as it can. Other than that, Hydro, right now we've got some client work. We're talking to a new exciting potential partner that I won't discuss anymore.
You're right, that's
but,
good.
We're excited about where that could lead. And we also, like Carl was saying earlier, one day we'd love to go back and pick up Fishing Mates and pick up
We definitely will.
We love board games. Almost all of us play board games, D&D, the Trailer House on the Hill. We love that stuff.
Cool.
So
that's
stuff, you know.
Avalon.
stuff we'd like to. We'd love to work in somehow. You know, into Hytro one day.
Yeah.
But it's just the right time and the right idea.
I guess Hytro isn't just one thing. We're innovating in wherever we can. We're doing the things that we're passionate about. And I guess that's our real strive, to make sure that passion is the real focus.
Yeah, putting your skills, like you said, you know, overlapping into industry, like, well, okay, someone comes to you, well, I can't really help you with this.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what Hytro does, blah, blah, blah. Someone else comes along, we're set for you. Like, we want to work in more games, whatever, like something like that.
And in the future, like, we're going to have, obviously, a lot of things going on, but the thing that will make them good and still working and in our favour is they're not going to be things that are just we're doing because they're things we want to do.
Like another huge thing we're interested in, I think, at the moment for what would be next is just keeping on that local thing. Like, how can we work with local business partners and within our community and sort of build on that? Like Varsity Lakes, I was saying before, is such a unique little cool community. We love that, and looking at how to work within that in some ways.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, even in my head, like, with the things that I do, I'm like, all right, I want to change the world. And then I went and saw a speaker, and she's like, well, just stop right there, you know, like, yes, you can do that, but not right now. Like, change your community first. The community, and then, like, you'll grow out from there, and then all eventually, like you said, you know, all right, well, let's fix Gold Coast first, and then, you know, Townsville or whatever, and then you can't just, like, like you said, when you were having beers a couple of years ago, like, all right, we're going to go, you know, build a 3D treadmill. Like, let's go. And it's like, well, hang on. Like,
yeah.
how do you
it's
run?
The, yeah. it's really about the journey.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure you can get there.
And that's also like part of the reason why Hydro is Hydro. Like, we didn't want to go and work in Brisbane, Melbourne, or the United States or somewhere else.
Mm.
We like it here. We wanted to work together.
Mm.
And, yeah.
And so the name Hydro, how's that?
Oh, yeah.
We
never
Hydro.
Actually said that.
Yeah, yeah.
The name Hydro, well, obviously we're from an Omega idea, and we weren't really sure what to call it. We had some different ideas here and there, but we were like, we need something that's it's broad enough that it can cover whatever we end up wanting to do. So we looked at
we were going to call
word
it
generators.
CHJB?
Yeah.
Like all your names?
Yeah, just our initials.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's technically what owns.
Oh, yeah, like the company. Yeah.
No, it's called Hartro now.
Oh.
Yeah. We were going to do that.
Yeah,
it was going to just be that, and then we'd come up with a name later, but we were looking through. We had like a big list of just randomly generated words, and we were also like, oh, this one's kind of being used in this way, or means this thing, or whatever. And Hartro was one that was cool to us, because we're like, it's like high and nitro.
Yeah, cool.
You can go to the top quick. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
And that's where we got that from.
Yeah,
so we went with Hydro.
And that's sort of where
was,
Speed Beyond
came
from.
Yeah, Speed Beyond, they had that come on.
Pronounce it. Speed Beyond was something I just come up with to do with a little battle.
We needed it on our
website,
so it seems like.
Yeah. And that pulls definitely from the idea of what the name is.
That's awesome. It's very, you know, it's very clever of you guys to do something, you know, very simple, you know, like two terms put together, like Speed Beyond or Hydro, like. People who like have their website, and you know, I'm faulty at this, and it's like, hi, I'm Nathan, this is what I do, and it's 10 pages long, and you're like, well, shit, like, no one's gonna read that, like, you
and
know.
I had that mentality also went into Hobba. It was like hospitality vault, and it was so hard to try to explain that, so
like hospitality vault, it's a lot of syllables, Uber, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah,
it's all short.
So it's
punchy.
Hydro.
You say it quickly. And we live in Australia. No one wants to say big words.
Yeah. No way.
You know, come on, mate. Let's go to the pub. Get a beer. Like, it's all short words.
Yeah.
There's only one thing that we oversaw in Hydro. Some people think it's Hydro, not the Higgh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. Got that.
Hydro as well.
Yeah.
Hydro. Hydropower. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, but it doesn't mix well with computer science.
Yeah. But when you see it, you definitely go. You know how to
Hydro.
Say it.
Hydro. It sounds like you guys have got like a bit of like business and company like stuff behind you. So getting to that stage to where you are now, like is it frustrating doing all, you know, formalities and all that type of stuff? Like
That we had some
sort of
companies
things
and
that we had to
and
sort of
accountants
like
and
get sorted.
Yeah, it gets easier as you go along. Like something I've said to a lot of people
I think trust
just recently
is a really
is
big thing that we had to start off with having as a baseline.
I think like I said to a lot of people is just the one of the best decisions we made this year was just hiring an accountant, because all that was just a headache for us. We're not accountants. We don't know, we don't know what tax laws are and how to set things up properly to have a good business structure
and
stuff.
Also as a small business you don't know like what you can get to help your business that's where the accountant's like, well, they have this for small businesses.
This is stuff that you just don't know as someone who's not.
It'll take you weeks to find it all out as well.
And it's time we can be spending you working on the next project or but there's not much admin that goes into our everyday. It always gets taken care of as it does. Handle most of the front end admin. Josh handles most of the backs, like payroll and stuff, and we just tackle it as it comes, really. Most of it's not too headachy, and to be honest, the company structure has been pretty cruisy from the get go. We're all pretty much on the same page, and like I said, it's like a little family, so all just sort of support each other when we need it.
And at the end of the day, we're all equal shareholders, so it's just like everyone's seen as equals. I guess that's just.
Yeah, it's important, hey, all being mates, you know, like you don't want to like something to get in the way of that, you know, which is like the core of it.
It's
like
very tricky to like.
Yeah, I think the only big like thing that's really hard at first is separating work and personal connections. When Carl and I walk out this door this afternoon, we're just mates. We'll go for a beer. Works the next day.
And we can always be like not talking about work we're not at work.
Yeah, because we all go home and play video games and hang out and, you know, we've got other friends we hang out with and stuff, and
it's,
when we do that, it's mates, you know.
It's
definitely going to have its like troubles down the line, and there's going to be things that arise, but I think having the trust and just how we
communication
are, and communication is huge. And a lot of the time, like you hear from a lot of people, that it's not advisable to go into business with like friends.
Mm.
And generally speaking, it's like you can generally take that, but it's a little bit different when it's not just like friends; it's people that you wanted to do business with from the get go.
And I think in all of our minds, it's like we've always worked together, just because of uni. Like,
and it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
as well.
I'm sure anyone at uni will say uni is its own full time job. Like, it's a lot of stuff to deal with, and you know, studying together, you're sort of like, oh yeah, I can work with this person.
You
figure that stuff out.
Yeah,
that's awesome, and it's very important. You know, it's very important that, like you said, you can walk out the door, and it's like, well, you know, we're just going to go do this this afternoon. We don't need to talk about work or clients or whatever. Separate it, and like you said before, like having the co-working space, like instead of being at home or in the garage,
that was
like
really important.
You can separate it, because like you're sick or you're at home
thing,
or
yeah.
like
because it was quite hard if Sam was sick that we couldn't
work. There's no office space to go to. So it's really good separating. I think even people talk about, you know, like there's a lot of stuff on it about you shouldn't have your home study or the room you spend your whole day in as your bedroom. Bedroom should be for rest and
need
sleep.
To be able to wind down.
You know, you have an office for your office stuff, and that separation is a good thing. It's not something I do because of space, but separating work from home is great.
Professional,
and
personal,
working from home can be good.
Yeah,
but even then, you know, having the office be in my spare room, it was like it's its own room, but that's the work room. But now having it be here, it's so good to come in whenever. But also, like, we can switch it off even, you know, like we like to keep our little like work culture stuff going. You know, we have drinks with Sylvie, the owner, and local people who we know around Varsity. Like, we'll get together with them and just, you know, have a beer, have a chat, talk about what's going on in life, and hang out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Heads
off, yeah,
you know?
Sick. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I love that. It's a good little culture you guys are building. It's and like you said, you know, you got to walk before you run. You got to start with this type of stuff first, having that real community-based focus thing before you know, end up, you know, running like a big facility or something like that. You know, if that's the goal in the end. So it's
you got all week to think about being corporate and professional, but everyone's human.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good to have like human connections with. You know,
that's something that's lacking now. So it's good. You know, people wanted to turn everything into AI or into apps, and it's just like they want to sit on the home and couch. They don't want to deal with customers. They just want the phone to do it. You know, so
you just see a lot of companies doing well, especially right now, who do adopt a less corporate, like company culture.
One of the biggest companies in Australia in terms of tech, I think it's Canva.
Yeah. Yep.
And their like mentality is very small teams that are connected, and like building that community in their company, not just like, it's not like in the end of the day it is business, but it's also it's people dealing with people. Like, why not be a community?
There's a person behind the email, you know, like in their own life, doing their own thing. It's not just like a someone you're talking to solve a problem, like a neural
Sunday
network
night.
You
can put this facade on yourself to be like, this is business me.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you are who you are, and you will show that during work, and people need to be able to sort of interact in that sense.
Yeah, I've always struggled with that. Like, wherever I've worked, I've always tried to be myself, when it's like, well, hang on, I actually need to be a little bit more professional here, and it's very hard for a casual person to walk in and be like, all right, face on, like, you know, very serious.
Yeah.
And then, like you said before, like when it's work or when it's not work, I was working as a dish hand, and the chef would scream at me. And then he's like, oh, do you want to go for a beer tonight? I'm like, hang on, you just spent the last 5 hours like yelling at me. But he's like, yeah, man, it's work. Like, we had plates to serve, we had dishes to clean. Now it's like, we're not doing that. You know, we're friends. Don't forget we're friends. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It takes a while to learn that, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's good that you guys have had that
time
to build that.
And we're still learning it. Like, there's not going to be a point where we're like, oh, yeah, we're fine.
Mm.
It's the same as like when you, you've got like some couple, and you say to them like, oh, do you guys ever fight? And if they say no, they're probably not in a healthy relationship. You're gonna have frustrations, you gotta talk about it. It's the only way you get past the problem. And it's even like, you know, we'll get heated about not even at each other, but just an idea. Like Harry and I the other day, we're both saying the same thing in a different way, and getting frustrated because the other one wasn't understanding.
That's
and Kyle walks along and goes, you know, you're both saying the same thing, right? And explain that. We went, oh, we're both idiots.
The other day when we're talking about designs, and Sam's like, no, we're not doing this, and
yeah,
I was completely
about
saying different
thing, and, it's
and
like,
I'm like,
oh,
yeah,
wait,
that would have been stupid. And
it's
funny because at the end of that we laugh. Like, we're like, business face, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of that, it's like, oh.
And now, that's, oh, I love it. That's so good. Now the last question I always ask my listeners, guests is, like, what's an ideal day? So, for example, like, my friend Aaron, he was in Japan in the morning, skiing in the field, and then in the afternoon, you know, having beers on the beach, surfing. So, like, you know, we'll start with Sam first, and we'll go to you, Carl.
Our day, and Carl said the same thing, is almost always starts with, we get in, laptop bags go down, we go to the coffee shop, we get a coffee, we walk around the boardwalk, we come back, and that's the start of the day.
Yeah.
Almost every day here.
That's awesome.
You get off your feet for a minute, enjoy the nice, you know, lake or, it's beautiful, and have a coffee, get your brain going.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gives you a chance to talk about, you know, anything.
Whatever happened in the last 12 hours,
You do that work, plan your day. It's a good little start to the day. Yeah. And then from there, we just get done whatever we need to get done. So, you know, in an ideal day, meet with Colin and talk through, like, what our plans are and stuff. Colin, being a chef, loves to bring in lunch for us every now and then,
cool,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
We all go get lunch, eat together, have a chat, back into work, and at the end of the day, either head home or, you know, the last couple of sort of weeks we've been more and more sort of going out and having a beer or whatever, just around after work, or checking out the local restaurants and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much the same. Like, an ideal day at work is just, like Sam said, we get in roughly the same time. It's not like we're strict about get here at 9, we start work at 9, because we know that if you come in a little bit late, you'll make up for it on another day, or you'll work a little bit later, or if you leave early, you're going to work.
Yeah.
An ideal day is you
outcome
get here,
focused,
nice. It's a lot better when the whole office is more so full, because then everyone's chatting and it just seems a little bit more lively. So, and we go get a coffee, so we go a little coffee walk, go get coffee from our favourite coffee place, do the Broadwater walk, come back, and then ideal day is we do a scrum, so we talk about what we're doing, what we have done, what we've got to get done, get it in, do the day, get to 12 o'clock roughly, go for lunch.
Mm.
We a lot of the time go get the fish or sushi.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bon Sushi.
Oh, Bon Sushi is so good.
Ever in Varsity, come visit?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad place.
Yeah. And the fish, best fish and chips I've pretty much ever had. And
that's awesome.
I come from Brunswick, Byron area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's everywhere down there. Yeah.
So, 100%, if you're ever in the area, go to those places. They're top tier foods.
That's awesome.
We love getting lunch, which makes it really hard, but also the lunch is really cheap.
Yeah.
Like, you pay under $10 for a full meal.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like,
for the convenience, it's almost worth us not bringing food.
Yeah. Like, I did a big cook-up and meal plan, and then that cost me almost the same.
Yeah.
A bit cheaper, but...
Yeah.
It's like...
Time and
really
effort, isn't
there.
It? Yeah. Hanging out with the boys and stuff as well. And
just that, sense of connection. And then we usually sit by the water, or sometimes we just go outside and sit, depending on, if we need the table or not, what we're eating. And then come back in, finish off what we need to do. And it's really good. My ideal day is when we've just merged our branches back into our main flow branch, which is our develop branch, and that means that we've sort of ticked off a checkpoint. We're this is a milestone.
All the different things going on in the app come back into one version, and it sits nice, and
you
can play with it and go, oh, look at this new feature we just did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's the ideal, just end of days, and that happens so often, and it's such a we look at each other and we go, we write good code.
It's a good feeling, eh? You sit back and go,
it worked.
Oh, hell
worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that recently we've been connecting a lot more with the Varsity community. There's some other software devs just a couple doors down we've been chatting with, and heaps of people around, so just sort of catching up and networking in the areas.
Monday to Friday type thing?
Pretty much.
We usually go for drinks Friday.
Yeah.
And if anyone's in the area,
once or twice a month,
come for drinks.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And then Saturday, Sundays, what are you guys doing? Hanging out, playing games, or?
Usually playing games.
Sleeping in.
Yeah. I live up in Bigara.
Okay. Yeah.
So I usually, by the time I get home, I'm just exhausted. So my weekend's just generally doing all my chores. And and getting stuff sorted.
Life admin.
For the week, and then I go back to work. But it's fine. I'm kind of a workaholic.
Well, you guys are enjoying it. You're happy,
days.
You know. It's
People
go, oh, work. It's you don't have to work so much. But it's hang on. This is our, like you said, it's our passion project.
Yeah.
This is my job. It's not someone else's.
It's absolutely I've never been so happy in a job.
Yeah.
Ever. And
yeah.
I don't think you can.
It's not like showing up
for
work.
Yeah.
It's like show up at your mate's place to hang out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And we come up with stuff all the time during work. Like, Carl and I'll be like, oh, what if we made a game, like a little card game that plays like this? Or,
yeah.
Oh, what if we go and do this on the weekend? And then we'll just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of fun.
That's awesome.
Playing random stuff. And the boys all did a road trip a little bit ago that I missed out on. But
no.
Next one.
You went to Japan.
Yeah. I wasn't in the country.
Yeah, so we're planning on doing another one. That was really good.
Yeah.
That just like, that was after graduation. And we were like,
it's all team building,
yeah.
I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Stuck out, back with no reception, no PowerPoints or anything.
No computers.
Yeah. Yeah,
we only had one case of beer, which we finished in the first night. Bit sad about that.
Oh, wow.
Did like a 20K, like, well, about 40Ks, but a 20K there and back.
Yeah.
And that was then we got to a waterfall and chilling.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
good.
Getting out in nature and stuff, that's
yeah,
good, yeah.
Went fishing and stuff. It's good.
Yeah, we all love fishing, actually.
Yeah.
That's where the fishing mates thing kind of came from.
Yeah.
With the GRC. Yeah.
It's kind of like what you guys are. You're all just fishing mates who are computer scientists.
I remember,
yeah,
I remember the night that I pitched it under Honeyeater Bridge and we're just chilling. I'm like, hey, what if we do this? And then it just sort of has so grown since there to be its own thing and whatnot.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for having me today, guys.
Thanks,
I really appreciate
us.
It.
Yeah,
no, it's been amazing. This will be out, you know, on Monday. Have it free to listen. A lot of people I've spoken to go, oh, no, I was there. I kind of knew what happened. I'm like, oh, well, you know, tell people about it, get amongst it, and we'll go from there. You know,
yeah.
It could be a future client when things calm down a bit, maybe,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
We'll probably chuck it on our, like, Facebook page.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've got plenty of, you know, ticking ideas in my head, so... I'll have a chat to you off air.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
save things for later. But thanks again, fellas. I really appreciate it and the nice space and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Hopefully, people look forward to Hover. If anyone wants to have a chat with us or catch up,
yeah.
We'd love to connect with the community
yeah.
and chat about ideas. So
hit us up.
Yeah.
Send
myself or Carl an email.
Yeah.
All the details on our website,
yeah.
hytro.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
With a GH.
HIGHTRO.
That's it. Thanks, fellas. Cheers, mate. To finish off, as always, thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it, as this is a passion of mine. Don't forget to leave a review. It helps other people find the show. And please share this episode on your social media or tell a friend to continue spreading the message of Cooking Goals. You can sign up to our weekly email by clicking the link in the description of this episode and follow our Instagram at The Cooks Community. We are also available on Facebook. Until next time, remember to breathe.